The scripture this morning is Joshua 4, 1 through 24. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them from their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan, and everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for the war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priest, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped out at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" God bless the reading of his word.
Appreciate that. Awesome job, Esteban. Good job, brother. It's a little nerve-wracking up here, isn't it? Yeah. You know what helps with that? Coming up here more often. Sharing your life, sharing your testimony. Sounded like you were just about on the verge of being able to really, like, share a lesson. I think you're right there. In this passage, one of the most intriguing, I would say probably one of the most intriguing memorials that's ever erected is when Joshua led the people of Israel to build this memorial. Similar in the way in which the Israelites crossed into the promised land is how they escaped out of Egypt and the Red Sea, right? But there was a big difference. There was no enemy chasing them. There was an enemy chasing them when they came out of Egypt and the Red Sea was parted. The enemy now is in front of them, securing and protecting the promised land, preventing them from acquiring the promised land. I know this for certain, that the Lord will take out the enemy behind you, and he will take out the enemies in front of you. Can I get an amen on that? Just as I got you out of the bondage in Egypt, I can get you into the promised land. I think he used a very similar method because he wanted to demonstrate something that only God can do to all the people, to prove himself to them and to their enemies. Now, in this particular way, the Ark of the Covenant went before the people, gathered up all the priests, got the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant led the way as the people would then fall behind. Remember that the water stopped flowing just as the priests stepped into the water. There's no mistaking that God is out front. He will part the water. So here's your next slide. If you want to get into the promised land, you're going to have to let God lead. You want peace? You're going to have to let God lead. You want some redemption in your life? You're going to have to let God lead. You want some grace in your life? You're going to have to let God lead. You want some good reputation in your life? You're going to have to let God lead. You want some love in your life? You're going to have to let God lead. You want success in your life? You're going to have to let God lead. What does your success even look like? What does your promised land even look like? Make sure God is leading you, because he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will carve a valley in the midst of the hard place. He will show you out of temptation. He will escort you away from taking your own life. He will escort you away into a place that only he can show you. You can conquer the enemies behind you and in front of you. And those priests, when they stepped into the water and the water parted, they ventured out into the middle until all the people had crossed. God is in front of you, God is protecting behind you, and God is right in the middle of whatever it is you got going on right now. While they were crossing, Joshua told those 12 guys, one from each tribe, go gather up a stone. They brought those stones out of the riverbed. Now, they were not huge boulders, like we think Easter Island, right? They're not like that. Something they could carry, 80 to 100 pounds maybe. They'd have to carry it a couple miles. And it was nothing particularly fancy about those rocks. Nothing ornately special about them. They were just rocks stuck at the bottom of the river. We don't even really know what kind of monument was made. We know that it was made at a place called Gilgal. Gilgal probably is not even a town. It's probably more like a site, a religious setting, a place for meetings, a place for worship and honoring of God. It'd be kind of like saying, and they gathered and they built a monument at New Life. Now, Gilgal's mentioned like 40 more times in the scriptures. We get the idea that it's a sacred place of worship, a place to honor God, a place to remember the things that he has done. And there are all kinds of uncertainties about even what the monument looks like. There was nobody there taking selfies, you know. Nobody really knows what it really kind of looked like. Was it round? Was it square? Was it a triangle? Did they mound them up? See, and the imagery in this room is vast about what that might actually look like. And did they rearrange it? Did they put it in a square and then go, no, I don't like that. Let's make it a triangle. I said, no, the feng shui is all wrong. Let's stand on the rocks. Let's see what the, no, that's terrible. We don't really know. The promised land was a place of blessing. Watch. It was also a place of battle. It was also a place of battle. Those that have been given much, much is going to be required. And if you put Jesus Christ in your life, you can expect blessings. Amen and hallelujah. And if you put Jesus Christ in your life, you can expect conflicts. You can expect challenges. You can expect the testing of your faith. And how you handle those battles, how you handle those conflicts, and how you handle those challenges says a lot about who you are, who you trust, and what you value. When Israel crossed the Jordan River to enter into the promised land for the first time, God commanded Joshua to set up those stones at that place. Set it up. Set it up. And those stones became a memorial to the house of Israel. They were memorials that were set up for remembrance of God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness and his persistence and his forgiveness and his love and his power. You can look at him and go, no, it just reminds me of all the years I spent wandering. These stones become a memorial for the glory of God. Here's your next one, the wonders of God. How big is your God? Have you forgotten already? Have you limited him already? Lest you forget. This is how it was described in Deuteronomy, long before ever crossing over. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large and flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you drink from that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you eat from that you did not plant. You will eat and you will be satisfied. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples that are around you that you've conquered. What was the need for the stones? A memorial? We have short memories. We're a forgetful people. Even more so now, with media the way that it is, and all the misinformation and fake book and everything else that goes on. We hear about something, we're moved, we're shocked, unbelievable for about a day until the next wave of something comes along. And then we're shocked. Then we're amazed until the next thing comes along. We're forgetful. We're quickly preoccupied with the next thing. The wonders of God. I walk around and wonder every day. I walk into a room and wonder why I walked in here. I drive to the grocery store and wonder, what did I come here for again? And is it in the cart? I live in a constant state of wonder. I have to write things down. Ever do that? You have to write things down now? I can remember that I had a thought but I can't remember what the thought was. I can lay in bed and go, that is a great sermon idea. I love that, Lord. That is wonderful. And the next morning, I'll realize, well, I had a thought. Come on, what was that? Anybody else? All right, I'm not alone. All right, I'm in good company then. All right. Listen, I've forgotten birthdays. I've forgotten anniversaries. I've forgotten appointments. I've forgotten so many, I don't even try to remember anymore. Just gotten lazy in it. Just like, I can't remember any. I don't even want to even try to think about that stuff. How about this? Have you seen these things on Facebook? I'm grateful for this. They show up. They post them and say, on this date, 7 years ago, you were at a parade, and there's a picture of you, and you're like, oh, yeah, that was awesome. I remember that. That was great. Anybody else? Of course. We keep trophies and plaques and certificates and diplomas. Help us remember, even to so we don't forget. We need markers and memorials to remind us, not because we necessarily want them, but because we need them. And sometimes those reminders, they're of good things. And then sometimes they're reminders of not so good things. I got scars that taught me as a reminder, don't do that again. We even had statues that have, some have been taken down, right? That remind us or offend us. We have memorials of great things and not so great things. We have memorials of tragedies, 9/11 memorial in New York City. We have Oklahoma City bombing and ready, and museum. Not such a great reminder. We fly flags, gone but not forgotten, MIA, missing in action. This memorial is set up because we need the reminder. We don't always like the reminder of 9/11 or Oklahoma City bombing. We don't always like it, but we need the reminders. And this memorial is set up by Joshua and those tribes. It's a tribute to God, a tribute to who brought them through, who brought them out and brought them in, how good he is. How good he was, and how good he will be. Now, I hope I can get this across to you fairly well. It's not complicated. It's pretty simplistic. One of the greatest memorials and one of the greatest wonders of God is you. Here's your next one. You are a great memorial to God. Imagine that. You, a tribute to how amazing God is. Imagine that. You, a tribute to how wonderful he is, how sufficient, how good. Imagine that. Your life, a living testimony, a living stone, a living memorial of the Most High God. Your life, a living testimony about his glory, about his majesty, about his grace, about only the peace that he can give. Imagine that. Your life amounting to a monument and a memorial to God. Has God ever come through for you? Let your light shine. I came to the Lord wanting to blame him for the misery of my existence in my life. Esteban, I'm ready to blame you for all of this. It's all your fault. And from now on, I give you my life, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to testify about you. I'm going to testify about how, wow, how wonderful the peace. I have to testify about his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. I blame you for all the peace that I feel. I blame you for all the joy that's in my life. I have, wow, God turned that around on me. He showed me what I had was the strength to conquer. What he showed me was that I had the strength to overcome. The courage to go on, to win the battles for my mind, to win the battles for my heart, to win the battle for my soul. So now I'm telling everybody. And for some reason, he thought I was worth it. For some reason, Esteban, he thinks you're worth it. For some reason, he thinks you're worth it. He thinks more of you than you often think of yourself. You're a monument, a memorial to the wonders of God. We should memorialize that grace and that peace and that love that he's poured out upon us. When someone looks at you, they should see the Holy Spirit of God about you. When someone looks at you, they should see the strength of God and the Holy Spirit upon you. When someone looks at you, they should see the courage and the hope and the joy that the Lord has placed in your life. When someone looks at you, they should see the love of God flowing and pouring out. Even while we griped and complained and blamed him, even while we roamed around for 40 years looking for an answer, lost in our own self-pity, lost in our own self-loathing, lost in our own self-righteousness, lost in our own we got the right attitudes, God pursued you. God was still building you. God was still working on you. The God of wonders sought you out. He watched over you and provided for you, and he brings you to a place, even this place, right here and right now, preparing you to be a memorial and a monument. He has prepared a promised land for you. He's separating the waters for you to pass through. He's setting it up so that you can take possession of your promised land. And if he's leading you, get ready. And if he's leading you, get set. And if he's leading you, go. Go. Make yourself a memorial to this living, wonderful God. Ready, set, go. Take captive what God has for you. You are the work of God. Watch out for other monuments. Watch out for other monuments and other memorials that are being built all around you. What are they dedicated to? What are they honoring? Who are they dedicated to? And who are they honoring with their memorial, with their lives? The work of God, there's your next one. The work of God. He did all this, God did this, so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of God is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. He's doing something within you, building up your life, memorializing you. Why? So that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of God has been upon you. The memorial serves as a signpost to the world. It serves as a marker for those who are maybe even going the wrong way. No one can ever argue your experience away from you. They can debate you inside and out, argue and debate scripture and contradict, but they can never argue the experience that you've had with the living God. People need experiences with the living God. You need time with God. It's not all up here, folks. It's all in here. Serves as an indicator to all those that would observe what God can do. Remember the victories won. Remember the blessings that have been received. Remember the healings, the deliverances, even the obstacles that have overcome. Remember the strength that was given to you, the courage that he provided, that you might even take another breath, that you might dare take another step, even though you've been diagnosed with cancer. I dare you to honor the Lord your God. God draws people unto himself and empowers them and strengthens them. You're like a spiritual marker. You're alive, like a spiritual marker. This building, the playground, spiritual markers, a memorial. There's a lot of churches around here. Anybody drive by other churches to even come here? There's a lot of churches out there, right? There's a lot of memorials that are being built. Many of them with big crosses that honor Jesus Christ, that point people to salvation. There's a lot of monuments being dedicated to God, a lot of spiritual markers. There's a lot of Gilgals around. Sites set up and dedicated to the works of God. One of our main functions as believers is to witness to the lost and to the dying world. You're a spiritual marker. These wonderful stones did just that. You do just that. Your life is much bigger than yourself. You're memorialized. God's building you up and making you something for His honor and for His glory and empowering you to share and to speak and to show. If necessary, use words. How about you? A memorial to God, created in His image, adopted, refined, purified, set up so that the whole world would know the power of God. A great work of God. You, a great work of God. You, a great work of God. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. These stones will be a memorial forever, enduring and lasting, and reminder of His power. And the stones came, where did they come from? From Joshua's memorial? From the muck and the mire in the bottom of the riverbed. Nothing pretty about these memorials. Nothing ornate about them. The stones came declaring the miraculous deliverance of God, the power of God. There's your next one, like living stones. That's you. Your life a monument to God. Is your life a monument and a memorial to God? A traveling, working, eating, talking, walking memorial to the life-altering God? Like those stones, they were taken out of the muck and the mire. They were set up to show what an amazing God we have. You will be a monument to something. You will be a memorial to something. Addiction, alcoholism, gambling, crime, anger, bitterness, rage, insult, sarcasm, rudeness. You'll be a memorial to something. My life has been turned from what I once was to what I am now, to the things I was building myself to be, to what God is building me to be. It's amazing what God can do and has done. My God is strong. My God is powerful. My God is faithful. My God is mighty. My God is gracious and merciful and wonderful and sacrificial and loving and holy. My God is forgiving. He's a shelter. He's a fortress. He's beyond description. My God is provider, sustainer, protector, a refuge, a safe haven. I hope when you look at me, you see that guy's got the Holy Spirit about him. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, but there's something. There's something about that monument to God. You're an enduring memorial to the power of God. You are a perpetual declaration of His delivering hand. Your life is a living memorial. And as you come to Him, as you come to Jesus, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to God. As you come to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The scriptures say, watch. I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey, which is what they were also destined for. But you are a chosen priesthood. You are a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Your life, a living testimony of what God has done, his grace, his mercy, his peace. What does your memorial look like? Is it stacked up? Or is it in a square? God has made all these memorials. Man, you look different. Unique. Different shapes, different colors, different sizes, different languages. Some memorials in Christ, they wear funny clothes or they grow beards. They eat weird food. They actually might lay down on the floor when they pray. Or they might raise their hands in the air. All these memorials dedicated and honoring to God. Man, they look different. But odds are they came from out of the muck and the mire in the riverbed. Each memorial unique, distinctive, and irreplaceable, and extremely valuable. The world needs you. Each of us a living stone, a living memorial to the goodness of God, the promises of God, the salvation of God, the peace and the joy and the hope of God. You want to know about God? Let me introduce you to one of his best memorials, Esteban. You want to know about God? Let me introduce you to one of his best monuments ever built, Melinda. You want to know about God's grace, God's mercy? Let me introduce you to one of his best memorials that I've ever seen, Mr. Jim Auld. Sue Gehring. Rheta Paulson. Roger Olson. You want to know about God? Let me show you one of his great memorials, one of his great monuments. You. Now, if we're chosen to be like living stones, if we're to be these markers, if we're to be these memorials that tell a story, the living stones, well, then, everybody must get stoned. I just give it the way the Lord brings it to me. Next week, in your soap and your scripture reading, Joshua's going to encounter the commander of the Lord's army. Come back and hear about it. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to be in this place, this moment. I thank you, Father, for the testimonies that are given, the praises that are sung. I thank you for the word that is read and shared. May it reach deep into our own hearts and our very souls And Father, may we be changed. May we be enlightened. May we come to know you more and more, that our lives might serve as a living testimony to you and to your good works. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise in the name of your Son. Amen.